Welcome to the Experience Points Radio Show on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. We open the whole thing up with "Airbrushed" by Anna Monoguchi. I'm MG, your host. I guess I almost gave away the main segment of the show. We have a new co-host in the studio. We're gonna get to him in a little bit. This is the show where we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. unless we get overrun by sports. But we didn't tonight, so we're going to go ahead and keep on going with it. We have a website where we have all of our cut and dried audio snippets, our podcasts, our news reviews, and all of our comments and opinions if you choose to accept it. It's exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We also have a social media landing site at exppoints.com/social. You can get Twitter, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, Steam community, all of that stuff. As always, we're streamable on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as Spotify and Google Play Music podcasting services if and when I get on the stick and cut all of that audio together. I still think I'm like 2 months behind, so I'm hoping that I can, I don't know, just like get off my butt and do that. If you would like to donate to the show, PayPal and Patreon, thank you very much. But, you know, until then, I think, you know, let's just cut to two songs. Let's get out of this. Let's get out of this segment. Let's go to the next segment and introduce our new guy. GWK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle and Star Fox Corneria Asteroids Remix by Entertainment System. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG. This is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is still Experience Points. I'm still your co-host now, MG. We started the whole thing off with GWK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle and just heard Star Fox Corneria Asteroids by Entertainment System. So historically, this is the segment of the show where we talk about what we did last week. However, for the last few shows, you know, viewers, audience members may remember that Bear has been, you know, noticeably absent. And I explained that a few weeks ago about how Bear got a different job, and she decided that we've sort of both decided that it wasn't working out. She was trying to drive in, we were trying to do it online, and Discord and Mumble, and trying to do all these Skype-based or online-based sort of recording things. That's just not that's not how it really it doesn't really work out. So unfortunately, or fortunately, depending, she decided to kind of step back from the Experience Points radio show. Now, she's still going to be part of the Experience Points platform, the network that is online on our site or our series of sites. But for the Experience Points radio show, we actually have a new guy. I'm pretty excited about him. Mm. Dustin Arroyo from KSLU is in the studio with me. Dustin, what is going on, man?
I imagine some people who listen to the radio station, listen to 90.9 rather frequently, might be sick of me.
No, I don't think. Well, really? Should I?
Well, I do. Every morning they have to listen to me from 7 to 9 here. Yeah. I do the morning show. I also do the original show that was me and Burns' creation, Pop Flicks.
Awesome. Mentioned that.
Right. The film kind of talk about film, movies, TV stuff, and everything like that, and that industry and everything like that. But I gather everybody could probably figure that I'm also massively
you're a nerd.
A huge nerd. Yeah, nerd. Just I actually run my own Dungeons and Dragons group.
I was gonna bring that up. Yeah. And you didn't. when Bear and I were coming in to do this show in the station, we typically record on Tuesdays and then we air on Wednesdays. So if there's anything breaking news, you know, we can get a good segment in.
Yeah.
Breaking news that we can re-record at like a drop of a hat moment's notice, and we'll just have like a B-side. Mm-hmm. But we would come in and we'd see you with the GM screen.
Yeah.
And just a table of nerds, just nerd herd all yep. around. And we'd go in, and as soon as we shut the door, I'm like, man, that dude is like getting it. They're getting got right now.
Yeah,
like,
well,
it's always, and we'd always open up, because sometimes we KSLU has a few different studios. We go in one, mm-hmm. and we can't really hear anything. We go in the other one, and we can hear a lot of the D&D campaign.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'd put the recording sign on, and we put our ears to the door, and we like listen. And try to like eavesdrop on what they're doing and what's going yeah. on. We always talked about like, hey, let's bring in it on a D&D segment.
Absolutely.
You in whenever Bear and I were doing it. So it's nice, it's convenient, but it's also incredibly fitting that you are now here because you are a nerd. Like, you are a geek.
Oh,
you
yeah.
are. How old are you? Do you give your age online?
ASL, I don't mind saying. This Friday, actually, I will be 27.
We are almost. We almost have the same birthdays.
Oh, when's your
mine's on the 25th.
25th.
25th. I'm almost gonna be 30. So I mean, we're kind of close to the same age too. We're not very different in age as well. So. Fantastic. We're old. We're going to die soon. we're just gonna fall over. All of a sudden, we're going to be like, yeah, welcome back to... And we're going to hit the mic
Matt,
and fall.
Matt!
Oh, no. And solo show from now on.
It's going to be like the Solid Snake dying. Matt! I will say this. I was in my statistics class, and they were writing down the ages on the board. And they're like 17, 18, 18, 19, 19. I'm like 26.
Upper fence over
here. I'm like, this is embarrassing.
Very cool.
But yeah, so basically my background with games, I pretty much have every system under the sun right now. I have Switch, Xbox One, PS4.
So you got the modern gamut of systems.
I have the modern.
Did you go
gaming.
With the pros or the Xbox One? Are you getting an X? You're not getting an X.
Actually, that is something I want to talk about. Okay, that is something right. I do want to talk about.
Oh, good, because I've got some ammo for that. Yeah. I am ready to go.
That E3 is something more than I thought what I want to talk about. But I have all that. But then I have my PC as well.
Right.
I have a very nice PC. I just recently upgraded it. I think I was just telling you I accidentally upgraded it more than I should have.
There was this interview process where we literally consisted of politics, Starship Troopers, which is oddly connected.
Yeah.
Conveniently connected, and then also computer parts, which is always great.
I think I did well on that interview.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So. No, you passed. He's the temporary permanent replacement co-host.
I will say this. When you guys were doing experience points and everything, we have like our thing. I was like secretly like, I sure hope they invite me to do something one day.
It was
like,
always a plan to invite you, and then things get rough. Things get really difficult. One day when you're an adult.
Just doing something simple like me and Burns do is so, like, it becomes so complicated.
The logistics are just insane.
Right.
Like, we there's a running joke, and I don't know if it's a joke, but there's a running joke that, hey, we're doing, like, online, and again, exppoints.com, go there and check out all the stuff, because we do have a few sister sites. We've got VG Rewind. That is typically our Let's Plays, or I started drinking game, I would drink a beer or drink alcohol, and I'd play, and I'd try to like comment and stream. And I'm not a competitive gamer, so that off the cuff sort of thing never really worked.
We did actually. Speaking of, I used to live in an apartment with some gamers, and we played Twilight Princess.
Awesome.
And I did that, and it got to a point where they would invite friends over just to watch me get drunk and do that. And it was hilarious because I don't know if you remember the guy who gives you the first quest, but he looks like Mark Wahlberg.
Nice. Yeah. I never put that together.
Yeah. He looks like Mark Wahlberg to me.
Mark Wahlberg after he was in
What's
jail.
Going on here? Like, where's the kitty cat?
Right.
Say hi to your mother for me. That's my Mark. But I used to work at GameStop as well. I'm not sure if I shared that with you.
No, you didn't.
I used to work at GameStop for ages. Like for 3 or 4 years, I worked at GameStop in Slidell.
I hear so many like horror stories. Yeah. We don't have to talk about GameStop specifically.
We could do a whole episode about the nature of that place.
But video game stores in general, not GameStop
video game stores, not specifically, but yes. But let's get to the Xbox One X. So I built my computer. I just upgraded it. Got all the cool fixings and everything. I can't really think of anything I want to do with it now, actually. Kind of put myself in a dead end.
Will you play games with it?
Upgrading. That was the angle.
Okay. I
always liked upgrading
it. Wait, hold on. Tangent number five.
Okay.
We started the show, and we're prepping and everything, and he's like, my laptop's open to Newegg for no reason. I don't know why. I don't think there's anything that I want. And then I'm in the booth getting things ready, and he's like, you know what? I could use another SSD. So don't tell me that you don't know where you're going.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to open up Newegg. It's probably bookmarked. You open up Chrome, and it's Newegg, and you're like, what's the daily deal? And you're like, crucial SSD. I think I have another SATA port. I could throw another SSD in there.
No joke. I woke up yesterday morning and went, my alarm's on. Newegg's got a notification for me.
And I used to do that with Loot and Yugster. I'd be like, what's the daily deal? And I'm like, oh, it's not a box of crap. Okay.
Yeah. But the... And that's the PC gaming and consoles. There's kind of been a change with how they consoles like, okay, well, hardware-wise, we're behind PCs.
Yeah.
They recognize that, and that's clear from how they talk about their new stuff with the PS4 Pro. I've checked out the Xbox One X's specs, and they're pretty good. For a console, they're good. It doesn't have the ability to be upgraded still, which is intrinsic to why the PC would do that. But if you want to get something closer to a PC but the accessibility of a console, I could see the Xbox One X doing a lot for you.
That's what. So it's sort of like it's the fence. It's the fence that I think everybody has to at least recognize that exists, right? On one side, you've got this not immediately obsolete, but towards trending obsolescence of a console. Whenever right. you buy it, it's not like you are going to be able to expand it. Caveat, expansion ports, the rumble packs, all of the accessories, the VMUs for the N64s and the Dreamcasts and
yes.
the serial port additions. And we don't really do things like that anymore. I mean, you can swap out a hard drive.
The RAM upgrade for the N64.
That was the expansion pack. I mean, that was something that was really great. You actually added resources to the system.
And it was necessary for some games.
You don't need to change any consoles today to play a game. Even the Pro, I'm a big fan of Horizon Zero Dawn.
Right.
I should play it more. I should give that game more love.
I loved it.
It's so good. I've played probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 hours of it. And I felt myself like, well, I want to play, oddly enough, Mass Effect instead or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get back to No Man's Sky. And I just ignored it because I'm much more of a PC gamer, which is,
right.
It's going to be a quick conversation in a little bit. But you've got the planned trending obsolescence of consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get these little injections of like sub-generations and then generation changes. So from PS2 to PS3, from PS3 to PS3 Slim, and then eventually yeah. PS4 and now PS4 Pro. And then eventually there will be PS5 or whatever.
Right.
The original PC, PS, PlayStation yeah. or something.
The PS3 and the PS3 Slim and everything, those weren't really hardware changes though.
They were stylistic changes. They were cosmetic changes. And mm-hmm. You know, PS4 to PS4 Pro or Xbox One to Xbox One S even. S had a little bit of a different thing because it had a different Blu-ray drive. You can watch Ultra HD or whatever
yeah.
4K video in the Xbox One S, but I don't believe you could do the same thing in the Xbox One. And then you've got the Pro X, Xbox One X. It comes in an Xbox.
There's
Xbox,
too many
Xbox.
Initialism here. I'm getting a little confused.
There was that meme that came out. It was like, you buy an Xbox, and it comes in an Xbox box. You buy an Xbox 360, it comes in an Xbox 360 box. You buy an Xbox One, you get an Xbox One box. You buy an Xbox One S, it comes in an Xbox One S box.
Yeah.
You buy an Xbox One X, it comes in an Xbox One Xbox.
You know, I used to get like so confused with people who talk about cars. Like, how do you distinguish all these different cars and everything? Now that the Xbox One S...
NSX3.
Now that there's going to be, and I know what those are, I'm like, I understand
well,
it now.
Well, you know, and coming from a PC gaming perspective, in a PC gaming, you know, building your own PC perspective, you know, mm-hmm. you know memory timings, and you know, I had an i7-7700K, you know what all
yeah,
those
that's
mean.
What I'm rocking.
And there are people out there that are good with, you know, cars or their own sports statistics. That's always blowing
yeah.
me away. And not just like football type statistics, like, you know, did you see what Team Liquid did, or you know what?
Yeah,
Cloud9 is doing. They have all these statistics memorized, and I can't do it. It's a separate part of your brain, and I'd never
yeah.
you know, did that. But you've got the upgradability of a PC, and then you've got the understandably incapability of upgrades for consoles.
Right.
And I don't know. The middle ground I thought was going to be those Steam boxes.
I thought so too.
I thought the Steam boxes were going to be like, look, it looks like a console. We made a controller, but it runs Linux, and it's sort mm-hmm. of like a PC. But we're not going to make it a PC. It's going to run Linux. It's going to look like it's a console, but you can add RAM. You can take it apart, and you can sort of be enthusiast with it.
It'll be user-friendlier.
It'll be a user-friendly console-like PC.
But I find that gamers are very interesting in that it's kind of – it's a game of extremes with them. The middle
yeah.
ground just doesn't work for some reason.
Well, and I don't know that it ever will. I think the middle ground was there to get the people that were that maybe didn't want to spend. I talked about it on the show a while back. I also upgraded my computer or rebuilt a computer after the flood. The mm-hmm. moisture eventually killed mine. It was old. It was a 2600K, and I upgraded to a 7700K. So
yeah.
I went from a biplane that I had to, you know, I had to flap my arms to make it fly to getting a sub supersonic, like an SR-71 or whatever.
Yeah. Blackbird,
but it was so, you know, much faster and everything, but it was very expensive. It was a $1,500 computer, and you know, not everybody wants to spend $1,500 to mm-hmm. upgrade their system or buy or build a system. And then there's also the maybe I don't know how to do this. So buying a prepackaged, I would even say the same thing about buying a $600 Acer, you know, Comanche, whatever Best Buy-esque,
yeah.
you know, packaged out of the box system. People want the people want the experience, but I don't know that they always want the build-it experience. They just want the gaming experience sometimes.
And one of the features that they were going to have in, and they were talking about it earlier, Microsoft was going to have an upgradable console. And that idea kept, it kept kind of springing up when Project Scorpio was in its infancy that we know as Xbox One X.
I wish they just kept Scorpio.
Cooler.
I mean, well, they already have, so they had so much. Xbox One X is just, it's just kind of difficult. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's, you can't even blame Japan, right? Because when Nintendo does something, Nintendo or Sony does something, they're like, well, you know, the Japanese based country, they do the company, they do things differently. Microsoft is in America,
US.
And they okay, it's good they didn't call it the Direct Xbox like it originally was going to be, but don't call it Xbox One X. There's more letters out there now.
Yeah, there's other the X. It's like movies saying redemption or
it's
revenge.
X-Bone was the Xbox One, and then X-Bonix.
X-Bonix
is Xbox One X. It's just, or X-Bonix.
It feels like I'm trying to speak Latin and having a stroke at the
same
time.
Right, no, exactly. So, I don't know. It was unfortunate that, I guess, the Steam boxes never caught on. Mm-hmm. And I liken that to cross-platform ability. Because it wasn't running Windows, it was running the Steam OS.
Right.
And the Steam OS is a version of Linux. And, you know, that's one of the greatest things about computers is that if you don't like something in Windows and you don't have a Mac, or even if you do, you can run Linux and you can customize it. But for gaming consoles, even though like PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox, all of those, well, maybe not Xbox, but even the Switch is Android-based now.
Yes.
And previously, it's always been either a very custom OS or a custom Linux version of an OS. So, I mean, it's not like we haven't done this before. PS3 even had Yellow Dog that was natively supported for a little bit.
I can tell you what did a lot to not help it, though, because that sounds like another thing. If I'm developing a game, I got to go, okay, I have to develop the Xbox port. I have to develop the PS3 port. I have to develop the PC version. I have to now make sure this PC version works very well with Linux and the Steam machine.
Right.
It's a fourth thing they didn't want to do.
Right.
And if Valve had released one of their
SDKs or toolkits or something.
Right, or something like that, and had released a great launch title with this, that would have been compatible with this, that might have helped. Like, you know, they can't count to three.
If they would have done, okay, so I'm going to make that, I'm going to say it. If they would have said Half-Life 3, and he throws his pen down, he's leaving, he's out of the studio, I'm done, first episode, last episode. No, if they would have said Half-Life 3, welcome Steam OS, and they'd never do this, but if they would have said something like, also, if you play it on Steam OS, you'll get a bonus level. You'll get you'll see what happened to Shepard after Opposing Forces, or see what happened to Barney during Half-Life 2. Like, if there was an extra thing that was even a timed exclusive, something to get people to at least install Steam OS. Because you can install Steam OS on any computer pretty much. You know,
basically,
you don't have to get a Steam box or whatever. But I mean, like, I don't know. There was a lot of really dumb things. I thought that was the middle ground that people would have maybe jumped for. That would have caught the low-hanging fruit of people in the middle.
Yes.
Regardless, it didn't. And, it's one of those neat little, like a half step. Like, it's a step in a direction. Maybe not the best direction. Maybe not a good direction. But it's a step in a direction. We still have consoles that are not upgradable. And we still have PCs that are
still
arguably the master gaming race. You know, everyone says it.
Yeah. I will say this. There is a... The PC is not desirable if you need the home media system. And that was something when the PS3 or the 360, even really you could say the PS2 and the Xbox, because the PS2 came out and its big thing was, you know, it was great graphics, but it's like, it plays DVDs.
I play a DVD. That's what killed the Dreamcast.
Did not have DVD. And a woefully underrated system.
Oh, no, the Dreamcast is fantastic. We're going to do great things, talking about stuff.
And it's just that one thing of, the console is becoming, and I think that was indicative of the mentality of, it's becoming more like a media system.
You know,
now.
I never really thought about that, but that was my first DVD player. I pitched it to my parents way back in the day, and I said, hey, look, you know, VHS is dying. Let's go ahead and get a DVD player. And also PS2, we had PlayStation 1, and, you know, you're familiar, it works. So
we can get two. You got
things. Well, and I told my parents, I was like, you want a Blu-ray player, get a PS3, because it was at the time, it was the best bet. It was the best money money. I mean, Blu-ray players used to be very, very expensive. Now they're $20, but
yeah.
I never really thought about that. That's a good. That's good eye. That's a.
Thank
that's
you.
A good
that's why I'm co-hosting.
That's a good. That's a good catch right there. Yeah.
And I had a Sega Dreamcast. It was my first console.
Oh, I love
I
the
got,
Dreamcast.
I got it for my. I think I want to say my 11th or 12th birthday, and I had two games, and they were. I know what my parents did. Now that I think about it, is they gave me Power Stone and a game called Pin Pin Triathlon, and I now know they went to the P section and just grabbed two things.
He'll like P's are good, you know. Just, it's
she grabbed two
middle
random,
of the road games
my,
over here.
My
literally.
Mom, bless her heart, just grabbed two things that were near each other. But
she got Power Stone though.
She got Power Stone though.
That's one
awesome.
Of the best games out there.
Absolutely.
What I'm trying to think of. What are some of the other P games that she could have gotten?
Yeah, like.
I don't
oh,
know.
Gosh.
I don't know any Dreamcast games off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Puyo Puyo. No, that's Puyo, that's
no,
not,
they had Puyo Puyo
for the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I think they said.
But not in America, I mean.
Yeah. They probably had a promotional discount CD or something like that.
So you were mentioning that you regarding Xbox One X.
Yes.
That you have a PC, because I know my thoughts on it, and I think I might be able to anticipate your thoughts, but what are they regarding Xbox One X, getting it or not?
I think if you don't already own an Xbox One, that you should get this. And if you don't already have a PC, that this would be a good bet for you.
That's exactly where I'm at, is why do I, with Play Anywhere, Microsoft has an agreement that if it plays a first-party exclusive or whatever on the console, it's going to work on Windows 10.
Right, and that was...
That's it. That's fantastic.
Everything. There was three themes to Microsoft's E3 for 2017.
No Halo. It's called, theme one.
It's called Xbox One X, $500, and next year.
Yep.
Those are the three things
that
I took
away. That was
good.
They just kept saying it.
Next year and Windows 10.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It was for a PC gamer, I was like, I don't need to worry about the Xbox One X.
Because that hardware, I already have better hardware. That does more.
Yes.
And some people don't. And I know people that don't want a gaming PC. That even though you could say, well, look, instead of having two things, you can have one thing, and it being a gaming PC will probably make it a better everything else PC as well.
Right.
And you can still use your Xbox controller natively. It'll work fine.
I got the wireless thing for it.
Yeah. It's the same. It's better. And they're just like, yeah, I just want them separate. Like, people don't want a really nice computer. They want a computer they can go on Facebook and then go on Netflix. They can do,
do their work.
4chan things on. Yeah, and then they want their gamer place. They want, and maybe even in a separate room. I can understand that. I don't.
Steam Link.
Yeah. Well, that's a separate discussion. Discussion.
But
so.
I completely understand that. And that's why I'm never like, oh, consoles, or why I get them. It's like, no, they're accessible. They're a great home media system.
Oh,
it's the interface.
The Switch is blowing me away. I don't play it enough, but it's so interesting in that I'll say it's interesting and it's good, but I mean, they're keeping their 3DS lineup. They're maintaining that.
Yeah, and I wonder.
That's a little strange.
Right. I'm wondering how much that's worth now, because it's so hard to market a 3DS right now.
I would say if they could have in the 3DS form factor, or even like an NVIDIA Shield form factor, a Switch, where they make it clamshell and they make the Joy-Cons not removable, and it's sort of just like it's a single player game system. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll leave the Joy-Cons connected, it'll still connect with a Pro Controller and everything, but if they can make it flip and it's now a Switch, like a 3DS NES is Switch, 3D Switch or something.
Yeah, like it's separate
or
from
just
the home.
Switch Mobile or Switch M or something. Come up with a stupid name, Nintendo. You're good
it's
at that.
Fine, yeah.
The Switch Wii 2 Deluxe U. It
I'm
doesn't matter.
Sure. They just added
Switch
initial.
Cube. I don't know. If they could do that, then fantastic.
Right.
Don't make it, or even make it dockable with a cable. That would be really nice, because I love the clamshell design of the 3DS. I don't care about the 3D part of it. I love the Switch. The Switch is just a fantastic game.
I think
or console.
The Switch was a very good example of how do you learn from your mistakes. Because
that entire generation.
It's hard to say it's not a mistake, because I mean, when you market something, you need to say if this is a lot of people. I worked at GameStop when that thing was coming out. A lot of people were coming up to me, is this an upgrade or a separate system? And it's like, it's a separate system.
Right. It uses the old stuff.
But the fact that confusion existed did not bode well from it from day one. It was another thing game developers had to develop for, with the second screen experience interfaced in there. That's a pain to develop for.
Nintendo does this thing. They do it now with their mobile gaming, but they certainly did it with the Wii U, was that they have a problem with discounting systems. They have a problem with dealing with the overtime, things shouldn't still cost what they were brand new.
Still close to $299,
and it's a dead system.
Yeah,
and they aren't discounted because they're like, we have a lot of them, we need to sell them, and we want to make our profit on it, but people aren't going to buy them. Same thing with, I remember I was watching the new Pokemon series of games came out, mm-hmm. the multicolored dual games or two.
Yes, Sun and Moon. Yeah,
and I went to Best Buy because I was going to get one of them for a present. Because I don't do any 3DS gaming or whatever. Right. I used to, but I don't anymore. I was going there and I was like, oh, look, it's got the previous two or the previous four games, and they're the exact same price as the brand new Pokemon games.
Yes.
And that I looked it up. That's not a Best Buy thing. That's not one
Nintendo
or Game Freak or whoever is setting the price that high. And it's so ridiculous that the game doesn't get worse over time. I mean, it's a Pokemon game on a 3DS.
But the demand for that game must go down.
It has to, because everyone wants Sun and Moon. They don't want, you know, Soul Silver and Yellow Gold, whatever. It's just, it's very strange to me. And Nintendo has historically done that, because I didn't buy a Wii when it was popular. I bought a Wii when it was $50.
Right.
And I love my Wii. It's very, very good. I have a ton of games for it, and it's very, very nice. There's all the Metroid Primes, a lot of the old GameCube games that are still compatible with it. Mm-hmm. I love the Wii as an engine. I've never played online or anything with it, though. Mm-hmm. It's a party game console. The Wii U, I thought, was going to be good. I always like kind of like jailbreaking or hacking the thing.
Yeah.
I'll still buy
the Wii,
things.
Yeah, Project M for the Wii is...
Right. Right. I think it was called Letterbomb. Letterbomb hack was a way of, you know, yeah, okay, you could hook up a hard drive and everything and burn your games to the hard drive. I'm sure you could also do illegal ISO downloads or something from a torrent or something. But, you know, I want to support that's the thing. I never say that I don't want to support developers, because if it's a good game, you need to support those developers.
Right.
I wanted to do that with the Wii U. I hate discs. I hate discs, and I don't believe in having to continuously subscribe to an online service. So if I bought the discs, I do it with Blu-rays and DVDs. I'll rip the discs to a server or something.
I mean, you bought it.
I bought it, and I never really trade anything in anymore.
Don't worry, legally you're in the clear.
Right. And I feel the same way about video games. And even though it might not technically be correct, my Super Nintendo has been broken for a long time. I still have Mega Man X, and I still have a ROM of Mega Man X that I carry around with me. So I mean, I feel pretty good about that. But Wii U still incredibly expensive, and
it's too much. They need to reduce that price and make up for some of the loss.
It was the same price. The Switch came out, I think, for what, $300 or $350?
$399.
At that point, it was still $300 to buy a Wii U, which is the previous gen that arguably is like a substantially worse console.
And not mobile.
Not mobile at all. Well, I mean, I guess you could take it to the bathroom, provided your walls are non-existent or something. You know, it's if your bathroom's in the same room that you're playing in.
The thing is that people thought that's what the Wii U was going to be. Because that's what it looked like to them. It was like, oh, I could take this anywhere. Like, no, you got to be in your home.
Well, you have this brick that is plugged into the wall, and you have this, a laptop tablet in your hands. It was, I don't know. It's good that they're learning from their mistakes, but it's also, I don't like the stepwise iteration console thing that we're doing right now. The Xbox One X with Project Scorpio and everything, and everything still has to maintain compatibility with Xbox One S and Xbox One, as well as PS4 being compatible with PS4.
Yeah.
It's... Cool, you're giving us an upgrade, but if you just let us upgrade the system
ourselves,
like, you know, open the top up and slam more RAM in, yeah, okay, it'll be a little bit more expensive to allow for it.
Sure, you're not going to make your $500 on that one go, but I think you might make more money over time. It's like, okay, we're having like a $100 upgrade here and there.
No, you don't
realize over 8 years, like, oh, goodness, I've spent like $100 a year on the little upgrades they do over time.
Right.
But then, of course, you have the... You have that Super Nintendo, too many accessories.
That is the option where I think it was when we were, I don't know if you remember a couple years back where they were going through the Android-based gaming bricks that you would buy. I think the Ouya was the big one that like gained a lot of thing. I actually bought an Ouya. I still have the Thank You for Believing thing. And I've loaned the Ouya to a friend, and I don't know where it is anymore. But there were so many, not with the Ouya specifically, but there were so many of these that would just be like, yeah, you just have this base and you plug things into the base and you stack it up. And you can apparently just like stack it up to like 128 devices, which makes like a tower of console that... Yeah. You know, it's 6 foot tall and let's expand it.
And this is where aesthetics come in. That looks hideous.
That looks dumb.
That looks dumb and hideous.
Maybe if you like made a coffee table out of four of them, then it's just like you're just begging for it to do something else.
Get
like
the new coaster attachment.
That's it. You know, you put this on there, you get 500 gigs more solid state storage. I mean,
coasters are a gig.
It could be if you get a four pack. That's pretty good, you know. But I don't know. It's very strange that Nintendo still hasn't come down on any of their hardware. The only expansions that we're really seeing with the console generation are space. You know, more hard drive space or flash storage.
Yeah.
Which I guess is better than not being able to expand it at all. I mean, or doing USB storage.
And the trading in with the console is a way to mitigate that price as well if you already have it.
That is true, yeah. We would lose. That's why people don't like secondhand stores like Second and Charles, GameStop, things like that, because it doesn't immediately pay back to the developers when you buy things from them, but it does help them because chances are you're going to buy something with the money you get.
Right. And I think I already know your answer.
Or the credit.
Right. And I think I already know your answer to this question, by the way. And it's something I brought up earlier when I said everything, the theme of E3 for Microsoft was Windows 10, mm-hmm. $500, and next year. Do you think we saw a bunch of projects get pushed back because were originally going to probably be this year? Red Dead Redemption 2.
Looking at you, Rockstar.
Yeah.
I think there were a lot of projects that we had not heard about for a long time that didn't get any E3 play, but they sort of did in a way. Like, they're looking at doing HD remasters and potentially VR versions of L.A. Noire.
Oh, really?
And that is...
That's a shame that game is not as popular as it should be.
Right, it didn't get a lot of play. Now, recently, Kotaku was doing like a Let's Play on Twitch, and it was wildly popular. Mm-hmm. I love Mad Men, and half of the cast of Mad Men is in that game.
Yeah.
And they're really, really good. Like, when I see somebody, I'm like, oh my God, that's this person.
You can recognize the actors. They tried so much new stuff with that game.
They did really, really good things. Being able to read the different lines in the eyes and the face and the lips and everything, it's so good. So, yeah. I mean... I definitely appreciated that game, but I think those projects were very quiet because they weren't very popular. And now they're trying to say, well, we got all this code, and if we just increase the texture count, we just mipmap a little bit more, if we just make things a little bit nicer and recompile it
into the VR,
we can do VR, we can do HD, we can do whatever. That would be something we can make in a good, easy $30. And it doesn't take much effort on our part. We don't need to react it. We could even add new DLC or whatever.
All the production costs have already been made.
We already either lost or gained the money. Let's go ahead and just, we don't have to make discs. That's the thing. Digital distribution is a thing. We can go ahead and just push that out. So, I mean.
Your distribution costs are hugely mitigated.
Right. I think there were some things that they knew were going to be console sellers. Anthem is going to be a cross-platform console seller for some people.
Anthem is, and there's a lot of excitement for Anthem. And I saw Anthem, and I'm like, if this is what we get,
was that where Mass Effect Andromeda's team?
Yeah,
went?
Like
did they go and do that?
That's
they
pretty
did.
Much,
okay.
And by the way, we could do a great show about that, and they have some great interviews about the EA guys about what happened
you,
with Andromeda.
You say we do a great show? It's just going to be me with a torch and a pitchfork, being angry.
Yeah,
I got some thoughts and some things.
And so. Speaking of E3. This is the second topic I kind of wanted to broach if we have the time for it, is how there are some games that had a great presentation in E3, and they just kind of disappeared off the face of the map.
Yeah, they do this I've seen it at least. They do this thing where they present something, and they're like, hey, yeah, you know, this is thing is coming out and everything. What was the one, the Scaleborn or Bloodborne?
Scalebound.
And they did, and then the one with the dust, the Eternal Dust or something. It was an older thing that they were revamping for the Xbox One. They talk about it, and they don't talk about it for a long, long time. And if it's a really good thing, Last Guardian-esque, if it's a really good thing, it'll come back and go, where is that? They'll poke fingers at Team Ico and like, where did it go? And they're like, we're messing with it.
Yeah. It's Kingdom Hearts, where did it
Kingdom
go?
Kingdom Hearts. Where is it? Beyond Good and Evil 2. Frequently. Where is it?
We finally got something this
year. We got something back in 2008, 2009 maybe, and it was completely different. That was a tech demo, and now this is like a prequel cinematic.
Yeah, and a lot of money went into that.
We are going to take so much time if we start talking about all the things that we love at this thing. Let's go to a song, come back, and let's see how much time we have left. This is The Annihilation of Monsteropolis by The Megas. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin Royal.
And this is the Experience Points Radio Show on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm ushering again upon my thunder chariot. Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still experience points. I am still MG.
I'm still Dustin Royal,
and,
I think.
Well, hold on. So this is self-awareness. Dustin's self-aware. Yes. He knows who he is.
I want to swim in a stream. Oh, my. I want to eat ice cream.
Oh, man. So you have his... Hold on. The song we just heard was Annihilation of Monsteropolis by The Megas. On your surface, we both have surfaces in here.
Yeah.
And mine's from the school, but yours is... is your personal one, and it's got a Rick and Morty like themed vinyl stickers on it, and I love it. Absolutely love it.
I got it as a gift.
The latest Rick and Morty was probably one of my favorite episodes. It was such a good tie-in back to the first or second season.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Absolutely,
it was so good.
But we're not going to spoil anything for you. But continuing our conversation of just things that just kind of disappeared off the face of
E3. Red Dead
Redemption
certainly got delayed, but we knew about that.
I had a feeling
everybody sort
sequel.
Of expected, like, okay, are they going to announce it? And it didn't get delayed at E3. They showed some things, I think, at E3. And
Rockstar's not too E3
August,
heavy, though, so.
No. They don't have their own booth yet. They're not Bethesda, though. I wish they would just kick Bethesda out and put Rockstar in their place.
Part of me is like, you either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
I love
Bethesda's
games. I love a lot of the games that they make. Wolfenstein, Fallout, even Fallout 4, and a lot of people don't like Fallout.
Dangerously close to the EA attitude.
They're becoming very prima donna.
And that's the thing, but we could talk about that. Let's stay on EA. We could talk about how that can be.
I'm trying to think of the thing. It's the weird question is like, okay, what games disappeared from EA? And it's like, you know what? I don't remember because we didn't talk about them. So you have to go back to 2016 and figure out. And 2016 for me was really rough. The flood, other things, whatever. So it's like my brain, time moved very fast to get to this E3.
Blinked,
and I'm like, another E3. And I'm like, cool. You know, you're going to show.
And then just wait next year again. It's like, I didn't get anything really.
Right.
That
They announced some DLC. They announced the whole VR train, augmented reality everything.
But I've done that already.
Right. It's not – so VR isn't new anymore. It's not old yet, but it isn't new still.
Really take out the newness when it's already places I've already discovered. Like in Fallout 4, I've done a lot in that game.
Right.
I've never had the hunger. Like, wouldn't it be great if I had to turn my head to look at the stuff I've already seen?
What if I can see my hand in front of my face? No. I see a gun. That's what I need in front of me.
And that's
the
thing. They're not changing how Fallout 4 plays or how you interact with the game, which is one of the benefits of VR.
Right.
Or like puzzles. Like, because that's really exciting.
The
idea of solving a puzzle in VR with your friends.
Lone Echo right now is – I still frequently like, is this real life? Like, am I an Android or is this VR? Because Lone Echo, a few other VR games are really, really good, but they've changed the way we play those games.
Right.
So we don't need Fallout VR, Doom VR, Skyrim VR.
It doesn't
Skyrim,
change it.
As much as I like Skyrim.
Skyrim, we're done.
It's 2009, 2008. It's 2007. It's a long time ago. We've had Skyrim.
2011.
We've had
2011. The release date of Skyrim.
Oh, okay. So six... Oh, it's not that bad, actually.
Yeah, it's only been six years,
but we've gotten four...
But it feels like longer.
We've gotten...
Because of the re-releases
We've
constantly.
Gotten Skyrim for everything, and then we've got the PS4, Xbox One generation of consoles, so we got Skyrim for that again.
Then the Switch.
And then the Switch, which...
Then the Legendary Edition for PC.
People are just so excited to get anything for the Switch.
Yes.
That's the unfortunate thing, is that Nintendo has made three or four really good games. Splatoon, Zelda, Mario Kart, and then a bunch of tech demos that are kind of dumb. And then when some game like Skyrim comes out, they're like, oh my God, I'm going to get both Skyrim. I've done this before. I've been the Dova kid. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're going to do it again.
And it's just,
you're going to give them more money.
It is exciting to have Skyrim mobile, though. But this was something I wanted three or four years ago.
For 2 hours.
For 2 hours.
When are they going to build they're going to get the USB-C, battery packs so that you can have a backpack with a bunch of cables that go to something in your hand.
I imagine a Borg-esque like creation from Star Trek.
You walk around. It used to be like at the tech demo, the tech
he used
conferences.
To be a man.
You would see the guy with like the Oculus before the Oculus Rift. It would be like the onboard computing screen, and he has like a corded keyboard, and it just looks like he's
trying pretending to be not miserable.
Right, he's walking around, and he looks like a tech priest from Warhammer, from the Grimdark or whatever.
Is the headquarters bill yet? You got that done? But just a couple games, real quick.
Yeah.
On that,
what do we forget? What do we drop off at E3?
Dead Island.
Good riddance.
Remember? Yeah.
I remember Dead Island 1 and 2.
I got excited because the tone of the trailer they dropped was much better.
Because I love the first trailer for Dead Island.
The game was not like that. It had a much more cartoony feel to it, and intentionally, because of the interface. They had a much better feel to it. Mountain Blade Bannerlord, where the heck did that go? Kingdom Hearts 3.
We found, we got the update after the fact, but it was absent from
E3. Right, it was very absent.
You know, they're doing this like, it's over, it's finished when we're finished with it. They're not giving a time. They're saying like, we'll talk more about it in 2018.
And
We'll
talk more. But the biggest one being Red Dead Redemption 2. But Rockstar, although being absent for E3 is hard to say, it's just we haven't heard a lot from them in general. And they make their own announcements.
Yeah, they write their own press releases, and that's fine. They did notify everybody, like, look at this screenshot, or, you know.
You got to give us more than that.
You got to give us more than that. The community really does like that. Now, they are putting a ton of effort into the GTA Online scene.
Yes.
And that's good. Like, good job, guys. Because that really is, and I don't like competitive GTA Online, like, but it is fun. It's that mod. Mod for San Andreas, but it's actually done first party, and I say mods like they really just
they cracked down on one that only did single player mods.
Well, they did a tool that could do mods for multiplayer and that could abuse certain systems. I think that was easier to ban all mods than it was to try to build a system that was resilient to
that level
level of mod.
And to be honest, it wouldn't have been such a big deal if it wasn't for those silly Game Shark cards.
Right.
I hate those, man.
Gosh heck and darn it.
Those silly gosh darn cards. I love the game genies.
Oh, I gotta love those game genies.
But Red Dead, I'll never say this a whole lot, but this is when I'll say EA did something right. A couple years ago, Star Wars Battlefront, the new Star Wars Battlefront game hadn't come out. And instead of saying, hey, we don't have anything ready, they went on stage and say, look, we don't have a whole lot to give you guys right now. We're working very hard on the game. We'll show you a little video and some stuff, and we'll tell you some features about the game, but we don't have anything concrete to show you. I would have liked Rockstar to do that other than just some screenshots.
So on the other side, and we're almost out of time, but on the other side, what if the... what if there was this thing where it's like you, because E3 demos are very elaborate. They typically aren't just like a portion of the game that they island off. I mean, it's a completely separate thing.
Show.
And they work months to get the E3 demo ready. If that time could be better used in shortening the time to release for the actual game or bettering the game on release or for release. Mm-hmm. So we avoid day one patches and a Mass Effect Andromeda situation. Right. I don't know that I'd really... E3 is supposed to be the big show, the big dog and pony show.
It's a juggling act to maintain interest in the game, though. That's the thing.
Is.
You have to keep the interest.
Oh, no. I played Video Game Simulator or whatever, and it was, do you spend money and you go to VideoCon and do your thing? I mean, it's not easy. And, I mean, clearly you and I, we don't develop games for a living, but, I mean, we play enough games. We sort of know how the ecosystem, the atmosphere works.
And it's easier for people to be like, I want a better game. It's like... But you have to be able to sell and know that game.
Thanks, John Q, public community over here. Just like, awesome. You know, you're just yelling, you know, you're going to affect my Metacritic score, but I'm really poor. I've lost my wife and kids to this game, you know. The indie game is actually a really good documentary about how just a few independent developers, I think for Braid, Super Meat Boy, a few other ones, Fez, how their lives are affected by things like this. And then you look at Santa Monica for God of War or something. Mm-hmm. You just see how amazing, or Naughty Dog. They have a couple little online videos. Mm-hmm. What's his face? He did Psychonauts. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a sequel.
Starts with a T, maybe.
Some other stuff coming out with that.
Yeah. Oh, and they're doing a lot of remasters right now. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we are out of time. We're going to end on one song, but before we do that, we have a website, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap the P, social media at exppoints.com/social. I'm not going to go through all the different things. Just do the verby things, like, subscribe, do whatever. Good first show, Dustin. That's fantastic.
Thanks.
Let's do this. Let's a date next week. Let's do the same thing.
Take
me out for a drink first, sir. buy me a drink, stranger. So we're going to do this next Wednesday from 9 to 10, provided we don't have a sports run over. We're going to end on one song. This is So Dang Dark by Rhett and Link. I've been MG.
I've been Dustin Royal.
And you've been listening to the new and version 3.0, I guess, 2.0, 4.0, something like that, of the Experience Points radio show on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM.
KSLU. Stay tuned for the day one patch.
Literally anything could be hiding in the dark. Anything.
what's in the dark that I cannot see, because it's so dang dark, so dang dark, so dang dark, so dang dark, so dang dark. There might be a ghost in the dark. That's pretty unlikely, but there definitely could be a slippery spot, and that's arguably even more frightening. There might be a sudden level change